Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Once Upon a Podcast Network. I am so excited to have you here, and I'm also really excited to have a fellow audiobook narrator as my guest this week. As some of you know, I decided to take the plunge into audiobook narrating right after losing my job, and needing to know what I was going to do next. And that was when I just happened to stumble upon the amazing documentary, I Know That Voice, that Futurama actor John DiMaggio put together. And that gave me the impetus to reach out and see if there were any local recording studios that were around me that offered lessons for voiceover. And that was when I found Clayton Studios. That was when I raised the money via Kickstarter to get those lessons done. And then right before I recorded my demo as the end of my lessons, that was when I found out that I got my next job. So the timing of that wound up working out really well. But at the same time, I wanted to keep doing it. I wanted to get involved in voiceover somehow. And I had an opportunity to record my own audiobook for the first Excelsior with a previous publisher. And when they gave me the go-ahead to do it, and after a couple of months of really kind of working out the kinks, I finally got one out there. And I had so much fun doing it that I just reached out to my author friends and offered them the chance to reach out and get their audiobooks made by me. I needed to build up a portfolio. And so I wound up getting some royalty shares done. And it was with a YA fantasy. It was some children's books. It was some short stories. And it was just an amazing experience. It's several years later, and I'm proud to say I'm coming up on 20 books finished. And so it's always great for me to connect with not only a fellow audiobook narrator, but also someone who has a similar path, who has worked with a lot of indie authors as well, but at the same time has also done work with Simon & Schuster, with Tantor Audio, with Spotify, with Podium, and has read for USA Today and New York Times bestselling authors. The more I read about Victoria Connolly, the more I knew I needed to have her on my show to tell her story and to lend her own perspective in this wonderful world of audiobook narrating. And so it is a pleasure for me to introduce my guest this week, Victoria Connolly. Victoria, how are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for that intro. And I love to hear about your start. That is so cool.
It was a really interesting start. It was a really interesting path. And I'm so thrilled that I'm still on it.
And yeah, everyone has a different path. I mean, no two are the same, really, from what I've found so far. So that's really cool that you already had author friends that you could reach out to from the get-go. That's awesome.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, the Kickstarter campaign that I did, I basically just said to them, I will narrate 500 words for you for $10, 1,000 words for $20. And piece by piece, that wound up building up. And I'm just so grateful to all of them for
that's cool. I'll say that you're doing the right thing by having a creative edge, because there's in a lot of ways we have to make our own work and make our own hype, and no one is going to come and discover your voice and say, oh, this is the voice I've been waiting for. You know, no producer is going to just give you opportunities. So making that opportunity for yourself, I think if you're able to do that, that's giving you a huge head start. If you have that kind of out of the box thinking, that's super cool.
Yeah. And that's kind of what led me to starting this podcast in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it was a matter of looking through my Facebook friends list and seeing some amazing people that I grew up with. And
yeah,
from grade school to high school to college and beyond, and people that I've met in real life, people I haven't yet met in real life, and just having those kinds of connections and
yep,
saying that, wow, people really need to know what these people are all about.
Yeah.
They need to let the world know who they are.
Yeah. Working with other creatives, like as an audiobook narrator, like I've been able to hire just for small projects, like friends of mine that are artists. I found this gal that crochets and reviews books on random Instagram. And I commissioned something from her, like a book inspired blanket I had commissioned. Like I had my stickers made by an artist friend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've talked to other podcasters and writers, and it's just, it's very cool to expand that kind of creative community.
Mm-hmm. There really is something special about the creative community. And I've seen that on a lot of different social media sites. I've seen it on, you know, so many great places, and it just grabs you, and it just reminds you that, like, wow, you're not alone in this. And speaking especially as an author, it's really important, because writing is so solitary.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's going to be you, butt in seat, hands on the keyboard or in the pen, and just getting whatever it is out of you. So you need other people around you that know what you're going through.
Yeah. And I think you probably guessed if you messaged me you messaged me a couple hours ago, hey, do you want to have a conversation? And I'm immediately like, yes, because I'm an extrovert. I'm not an introverted creative, so I don't want to be alone, but I am a lot of the times with this. So I totally get that.
Yeah. I found myself to be kind of like an extroverted introvert. Like I always want to get out there.
Yeah.
But then whenever there are times when I just need to get myself out there, that's when it just kind of like almost like shrivel up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's something I'm still working on. But at the same time, just last night, I was with my daughter for her daddy daughter dance, her first one, because she's in kindergarten. And I was asked by my wife afterwards, so did you meet new friends? Asking me.
Yeah, like, asking you.
No. I'm just like, no. Well, why not? It's like, well, everyone was in their little cliques and they were all talking and everything. And they're all guys. It's not like
Well, like, I'm sure you've been to some, like if you're a sci-fi writer, there's lots of book events and conventions and that sort of thing. Have you partaken in those kinds of social?
Actually, they have been like really a life raft, really, when
that's
it comes
cool.
to that sort of thing. Because one of my favorites around here, Collinsville, Illinois, Archon, every end of September. And it's been a while since I've had something to sell over there, because my books are now with a new publisher and we're getting ready to get them put back out there into the world.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still need to finish book three of my trilogy that they made a deal for.
Okay.
So, that's one part I got to finish.
You got to get that done before that, before that event, maybe, or.
I doubt it's going to be done before that event, but at least it'll be, I would love for the book itself to be finished by the end of this year.
Cool.
We'll see. We'll see. But at the same time, you got some stuff to announce as well. You got a really exciting project that you've been working on that's ready to come out now. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, and kind of going back to like creating your own hype around yourself. Like, so my most recent release is Hey Jude by Hannah Brixton, and it's a romance audiobook that I got to narrate with my friend Benjamin Sands, who I met at a narrator workshop last fall. And that project was basically me finding an author through the Human Voices Only campaign, if you've seen that on social media.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. So she reached out to me because she just resonated with something I posted on social media. And then I looked at her book and I said, can I please read an excerpt for Human Voices Only? And she said, yes. And then a few weeks later, I was like, hey, so remember when I read that excerpt and you liked it? Can I do your audiobook, please? Because she's also just kind of a marketing machine with her with her work. And mm-hmm. so I thought this would be a good author to partner up with and really make something special. And I wanted to do a project with my friend Benjamin Sands. So Hey Jude is that project. It's the three of us collaborated and really worked together. And I love group projects, and everyone thinks I'm insane when I say that, but I really do. I like to work with people. So I'm really proud of that recent release. And it's kind of the first time I've done something. So this is not like with a publisher at all. This was just two narrators and an indie author getting together and say, hey, let's make something out of nothing. I mean, she'd written an amazing book, obviously, and we're coming with our skills and strengths. But I don't know, it was just a really, really cool project to just be posting about and creating the hype. And then mm-hmm. before we know it, strangers are like, oh, I'm so excited for this audiobook. And we're like, you are? I mean, you should be, but at the same time, it worked. Our plan worked. So that's been really fun. And mm-hmm. I hope to do more projects like that this year. So
that's wonderful. That is so cool. And that's something that just makes me feel so giddy, because exactly like you said, you got a group of people together and you made something out of nothing.
Yes.
And that to me is the dream right there.
It really is.
It's very much like Mickey Rooney and Liz Taylor just saying, like, we got a barn here. Let's put on a show.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what we got. And we're in the world's biggest barn right now.
It's true.
Social media.
And I think it's always surprising that people are like, oh yeah, we want to come to your show. Because I think this is just such a dream to be able to narrate audiobooks that mm-hmm. I am constantly surprised that, I don't know. I mean, I know I love audiobooks, but I wasn't really like a fan or like in the Bookstagram or BookTok space like some people mm-hmm. are, but I of course enjoyed audiobooks. So anyway, it still surprises me, pleasantly surprised that people are excited.
and there are just great resources all over right now. Like this is the best time to get creative, to mm-hmm. feel like that sort of spark that is pushing you toward doing something like this.
Because
not only are there all these great people that you can work with to help you make that something, but then you have an opportunity like coming on a podcast and talking about it and getting the word out about it. And now all of a sudden that's just going to elevate it even more, hopefully.
It's true. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all, like, again, it's all just, it's that entrepreneurial spirit that I think is really important to being an audiobook narrator. I think it will be really, really hard. I won't say it's impossible, but I think it's really difficult for people who aren't ready to just jump in and start playing. I think that would be really difficult. So I think there is a certain temperament that will succeed. And I even hate to say that, because I believe in everyone's special spark. I really do. But I think that if you're not ready to make a Kickstarter, if you're not ready to make something out of nothing, to jump on a podcast, to start a podcast, like whatever creative endeavor, to go to an event. And anyway, I think those things are really, really important.
Yeah. But there's a reason why everyone always says creative spark.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. It's not creative flame.
You
need that. Every flame starts with a spark.
Yeah.
But at the same time, sparks can fade.
True.
And if it's not fed, if it's not fed right.
Yeah.
And so that's where we come in.
And I think creators. Like I've been pacing myself a lot with audiobooks because I kind of have to because of my personal life. Like I have two kids and my husband mm-hmm. works full time. So I really only have when my kids are at school to record audiobooks. And that really only affords me to maybe finish a full book. If I maximize all that time, I can finish like a 70,000 word novel in a week. But I know many narrators who are doing a lot more than that also. And I think that keeping the creative spark means that you're really not recording too much. You have to blow some air in that fire. We're going to keep going down the pathway of analogies. And anyway, you got to keep oxygen to that flame. So there like, you got to get out. And I am like, since you're an author, I'm sure you know about like these creative resources, like the Artist's Way and that sort of thing. Like I was just exposed to that book last year and that's really changed my entire understanding of like my identity. And anyway, so I believe in protecting that creative input and output, right? Like, and understanding that balance. But it's hard because starting with audiobook narration, like if you're not hustling, you feel like you're falling behind.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of catches, and sometimes you are overwhelmed and it's too much, but I think that I said to one of my narrator friends the other day, I was like, I love this too much to burn out on it. And I think like I'm very like level-headed, at least. And I'm kind of proud of myself for this because like, can we all boast about balance? Not really. But I'm like, okay, I feel happy and content that like I can even say that I have like the health to go, the mental, physical, and obviously financial health. That's a whole other story. But like, I feel very privileged to be like, I love this too much to burn out. So I need to pace myself with projects. Like anyway, so that's a whole other thing.
You're not saying like, give me all of your projects. I need this to keep going.
Yeah. You know? No, it's like, I know I can only do a book a week, if that, and then I'm going to an event that's going to take an entire week out of a month. And then, and so I'm just kind of like, well, this is how many books I can probably do this year. Like maybe 30, if I have a great year, maybe
that's wonderful,
maybe more, hopefully. Yeah. But like that. Yeah. And I think just being realistic about that has been good for me. Yeah.
And I know I've been working at a much slower pace. You know,
yeah.
The past two projects that I just finished were real epic stories.
Yeah.
And they took a lot out of me. And at the same time, it's when you're working a full-time job as well, you can only dedicate so much time to each part.
And sometimes it takes days to settle into the next character. I it's weird for me because I narrate a lot of first person POV with romance. And even with this most recent book I did, the characters really high energy. She has an ADHD brain. So she's just kind of scattered and everywhere. And it took me some time to like settle it. Like it took me 6 days to really be like, okay, I think I'm being true to this writing style and this character. Yeah. I hope. Like, I hope it's good enough. But yeah, it takes some time. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
So speaking of time, let's go back in time a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's go back for just the past few years.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that I love to hear about is what I call the lightning bolt moment. And that's a moment in time when we experience something or hear something, meet someone, and it just makes you want to say, ooh, that's the life I want to live. That's the direction I want to go on. That's the person I want to be.
Yeah.
So you started out in community theater, correct?
Yeah, just as a kid, I did like CYT and what else did I do? I did church programs and I did high school plays and my family's musical. So I took music lessons, I took dance lessons. I did a lot of creative stuff as a kid. Mm-hmm. And then life happened and I had no idea what I was going to do with all of that creative energy. There were really no paths for me. Looking back, I'm like, what were you going to do, Victoria? There's nothing. Anyway, so let's just skip in time. let's just skip like 18 to 20 something. And I was working as a receptionist for this at this TV station, like, because anyway, I shouldn't even get into it. But like, anyway, this camera guy was like, hey, you have a good voice. You should get on Voices 1-2-3 for like commercial voiceover or something like that. And I think I was 20 when he told me that. And I thought about it. And that, of course, made me feel good. And I knew I was musical and stuff like that. But I just, and so I thought, yeah, maybe I bet I could try that. Oh, and I had done when I was a kid also, I did a jingle I recorded, my first paid job actually was recording a jingle for like ABC Kids one Saturday morning. Like they had this cartoon segment. Anyway. Mm-hmm. And it was like me and like three or four other kids. I think I was 11. or 12. And that was super cool. I got to go to a studio here in little old Spokane and like record something for Disney and have it be on TV. Like, that was so cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
Right. Like, and I feel like, oh, dang, if I could have just kept doing that, that would have been great. But yeah, so it was like all these like little mile markers just kind of pointing me in that direction. But I did retail for years just to survive. And I got married really young and had kids really young. And my husband and I didn't have degrees. And so we just were surviving for a lot of years. And when you're in that mode, you don't get to think about anything else, right? Like, you just got to work and pay your rent, which was the lowest rent you could find in the city, and all that stuff. So, but fast forward to where we were now, I think retail sales kind of helped keep like some excitement going. I don't know. It's different every day. It's a high energy job. And I liked doing sales. Like, I was comfortable with that, but I found success in that. So then the pandemic happened and my store was shut down in 2020. And I started listening to audiobooks a lot. My husband listened to audiobooks, but then I started listening and I started to take note of what I was hearing, not just like the books themselves, but just the performances.
Yeah.
And with my background and with that kind of natural, like, oh, I bet I could do this if I tried. I started to kind of look into it. And my sister sent me this TikTok that was like, if you want to make $400 an hour, all you have to do is go to Amazon or ACX.com and apply to narrate books that are paying $400 per finished hour. It was like total bogus TikTok. Oh, yeah. It was like one of those. I don't even know why people make those, because I'm like, you're definitely not doing that anyway. Mm-hmm. But it showed me what ACX was. And I got on ACX and I auditioned for an alien reverse harem romance book. Damn. And my first audition, I got the book. It was royalty share. Nice. And I was like, what? I was freaking out. And so then after that, I quickly figured out what the hell I needed. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have a studio. I like plugged in a Blue Yeti like microphone into my laptop and like recorded in a closet for the audition. I didn't know what I was doing. I really didn't. And it's so funny because now I've seen... Anyway, after I got that job, I joined all the Facebook groups of like ACX Facebook groups. And I saw people narrators posting all the questions I had. Yeah, go ahead. What did you say? Yeah.
ACX narrators, I think.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw people posting the questions I had. And so honestly, from that point, from getting my first audition, like that was so encouraging to me. But from there, I had to just like start snowballing and like figuring out, okay, what is this all about? And I feel like I kind of needed that job, that first project, to like get me to all the next ones. Because the next thing I knew, it was 6 months later and I had a book a month that I was working on. Wow. And I was a part of those Facebook groups. So I knew I had to get some coaching and I knew I had to figure out Audacity. And then I switched from Audacity to Studio One with Don Barnes. He's like a tech helper. I call him my tech guru. Yeah. So like I took his course to get started on like Punch and Roll and all that stuff. So it was really just in those first 6 months. I know this is a really long story, but it just came so gradually, all that information. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the next thing I knew, I was booked out with a project a month for so many months. So I knew I wasn't stopping. And so I just had to figure out, I just had to keep going with ACX royalty share projects with indie authors. Like those were my first 10 to 12 projects. And thank God I put most of them under my pseudonym that has since died. And
Yeah.
I mean, they were my very first couple of projects. So that's where they are. And like, honestly, if I could go back and do it differently, I don't think I would necessarily. I think I definitely would say anybody starting, go ahead and go to ACX, but just put it under a burner pseudonym for your first like 5 to 10 books, I would say, because what I sound like now is completely different. But
I got you. I definitely get it. I feel like as my own experience as an audiobook narrator, it's definitely evolved.
Yes.
Thing. My first my first audiobook, the one that I did for my first Excelsior book.
Yeah.
I also had a blue microphone. I had the blue Snowball Ice.
Yeah.
And what I did was I set that up inside one of those felt boxes that I got from like IKEA, and then just filled it with mattress foam. So it's all like lining in there and everything. I they had a grommet in there. So I used that to kind of feed the cord out into my computer. The whole thing was just like, it was so just patched together.
Yes.
In such a way that I'm still shocked that it worked as well as it did.
Yeah.
And I was able to get that first one done, but as just so happened that the second one I was able to, by the time I got my second book, I had gotten this new microphone. I got the Rode NT1i.
Yeah.
Myself set up downstairs. My father-in-law had worked with my wife to put together this little sound booth that was still needed quite a bit of work and everything in terms of lining with acoustic foam.
Yeah.
But it was getting there. It was definitely getting there. And now we're in our new house as of 2019. And I basically just said, as soon as my wife said that she looked at the dining room that was right next to the doorway and said, I am claiming this for my craft room and office.
Yeah.
I was like, great. I claim like whatever room I see fit for upstairs as my office.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was one that had a beautiful walk-in closet. And I looked around and I was just like, this is it. I saw it all. And the room itself is so much brighter. You can see it. My listeners can't, but I knew this had to be a place that I needed to be comfortable in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Yeah. And that's, I mean, you just have to start. If we're talking about journeys to audiobooks, it's like, just start. And there is so much free knowledge out there. Like, definitely get a coach, get a performance coach, get somebody to inform you about like business practices, but like, you can't avoid the learning curve. You just can't, I don't think. And I mean, and I'm still learning. I'm still learning so much.
Oh, me too.
I mean, 2 years in. Yeah. And yeah, you'll be amazed at how different every 4 to 6 months, you kind of have this new cycle. Like, you're kind of a new narrator. You might have a new space. You have an upgrade in some way. And there's just no getting around the early days. And I've had friends ask like, oh, are you going to write a book someday? And I'm like, here's the deal. I just started doing this brand new thing of narrating audiobooks. And it's taken me 2 years to feel kind of sort of confident. Mm-hmm. And I think it would take me just that long to feel kind of sort of confident with writing. And I'm just, I feel like I've kind of matured in those ways. Like, I understand how long it takes to start something and how much work it takes.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And I just remember getting myself situated in this field. And just like you said, you're always learning. And just five books, maybe six books ago, that's when I finally discovered and I don't want to say mastered, but got the hang of doing punch and roll.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, oh man, what a lifesaver that is.
Oh, totally.
Because like when you're editing out your mistakes, when you're just doing this little snap, whenever you make a mistake, it's,
yeah,
it can be so tedious to go through that. And it just becomes such a chore and it adds so much time to getting it done. Because it's one thing because you're not just getting authors, take note, you're not just getting our voice. You're getting our editing as well.
Yeah, that's
true. We don't have a team behind us here.
Yeah.
And we are, and there's a lot that goes into us trying to give you the best possible performance of your book. So,
it takes years to get competent in that. And I think I was lucky that I found Don Barnes on book two, because I think did book one without punch and roll. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so I think he really helped me get through some books pretty quickly. So that was, thought was definitely worth it. But yeah, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now you've done more than just one genre, correct? Like
I've done mostly romance. Mm-hmm. I just wrapped a thriller book that I'm really excited about. Mm-hmm. I've done some dark fantasy, like a kind of a Dungeons and Dragons inspired fantasy. And I just auditioned for, I hope I get it, but I just auditioned for an exciting project like that was on royalroad.com, which is like, you're probably more familiar with that Royal Road, where people post like, I don't know what they call it, but like episodes of their book, basically. It's not even a published book. It's just like weekly episodes. Anyway.
Oh, it's kind of like Kindle Vella.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like that, but it's focused on fantasy. Yeah. And sci-fi, I think. So anyway, that was pretty cool. What else have I done? I've done like one like middle grade book. And then I also just finished a young adult or like a teen book, I guess. But mostly romance. That's where I'm happy.
Yeah, I was just about to say, is that the genre that you feel the most comfortable doing?
It is, because it's what I listen to as a listener before I got started in audiobooks as a narrator. And then, like, speaking of social media, I really think that there's an audience for everyone on social media. So like, even if I was a thriller narrator, and that's what I wanted to define myself as, like mystery and thriller, there are definitely your people out there for sure. There's your authors to find out there and your listeners. But for romance, I think because I was just interested in it, it seemed like when I went to connect with people online, that's just what came naturally for me. Because I knew the books people were talking about and I hadn't narrated them. What I mean? So yeah, that's been cool to like, and then I've gone to a lot of romance book conventions, which there seem to be a lot of those all over the country. So I did that a lot last year and I'm doing it again this year. So it just feels kind of like a more accessible pool of authors and production companies for me.
How has it been making connections through those kinds of conventions?
Yeah, it's been really good, actually. There's people at these conventions that you wouldn't think. There's producers that show up. I mean, I met an author who was a proofer and a producer at Pink Flamingo Productions. I met her at an event in Seattle and we had dinner together. And then I applied for their roster. And the next thing I'm on the roster. And then a couple of months later, I got two projects from them. And that was my first. Yeah. And that was my first production company that I got to work for, like from ACX to Pink Flamingo. And that was amazing. So to me, it was like, oh, and then again, like creating your own hype. I hung out with Bookstagrammers and other like podcasters and people that just said, hey, we want to host you like on our page for a live. And it all just happens so organically, but it's just people I've made connections with over the last, I guess that was a year ago. And I went to APAC as well last March for the first time.
Yeah.
So they're really beneficial to me, really. And, I'm still getting projects. Like I stood in line with an author at a convention and I'm narrating one of her books this year. Just stuff like that will happen because of relationships that I've made. Yeah. So that's so cool.
That is fantastic. And I hope that really a lot of my listeners really pay attention to that. It's all about getting out there. It's getting yourself out there, network, make those connections, meet those people.
Yeah. You know,
meeting on social media is great, but getting to actually like meet them in person and having the opportunity to break bread with them the way that you have, it doesn't get any better than that. Like,
it's
it
true.
Feels and like you're moving forward on everything.
And I've had some like narrators kind of say to me like, oh, well, that's easy because you're in romance. But like, I really think that you just have, if I was doing another genre, because I already told you, I think like an entrepreneurial mindset is so important. Like you have to look for opportunities. You have to create your own hype. Like I could find my in with another genre if I wanted to. And I'm not saying that like to brag, but I just know it's possible. So if you didn't want to do romance, you wanted to do sci-fi or you wanted to do mystery and crime, like, I don't know. I have ideas for days, so I need to hold myself back. But I'm like, it's possible for you to find your people and start thinking creatively like, okay, like, especially with mystery and thriller, I think that would be another, a really good, like, a really good genre to meet people in. And there's so many happy fans of that genre too, that are involved. And anyway, so yeah, I think it's possible for any genre, but I definitely have, like, I just like romance. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with finding your people, finding your connections, finding what drives you in terms of passion, because it can't just be about the money. It can't just be about getting this project and then this project and furthering yourself.
Yeah.
What is it that you want to do? Because
I am
very, very impressed that you're able to knock out a book a week. I think that's amazing. Thankfully, when I worked with Audio Sorceress and Marnie Young, I was on a very, very tight schedule.
Yeah.
So I had to get that done.
Yeah.
And I noticed that when there are books that really need to get done really quickly, I'm able to do that. I'm able to provide that. My latest ones that I've gotten, the schedule has been a little bit lax.
Yeah.
So. But at the same time, there've been epic projects.
Totally.
So it's not like I'm sitting on my laurels or anything like that. So,
no.
But getting that sort of working with those people and everything, it's really important, because we're dedicating hours upon hours of production and editing and screw ups and then punch and rolls.
Well, and I'll tell you, I'm just in this place where I am meeting with a lot more indie authors. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, it's so much easier for us as a narrator to, like, record the raw files, send them off to somebody else, get the pickups, send them back. They splice them in, they do all the editing and mastering, and then it goes live. Great.
Yeah.
That's how we want it to happen. So I've had some friends recently share with me some sound engineers that offer that full package for indie projects.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this will be a game changer for you. So I have my first project now scheduled with a proofer, editor, and, like, he's going to master everything. And I think it's $80 per finished hour.
Hmm.
So again, for indie authors to know, if they're listening, like, the union minimum for being paid per finished hour for raw files for audiobook narrators is like 220 something. I don't really know. I'm not part of the union yet. Someday.
Yeah.
It's like 220 ish. Huh. Add $80 to that for proofing, mastering, and editing.
Mm-hmm.
That's about $300. So now I'm charging between 300. Yeah. I'm charging $300 to indie authors for per finished hour of audio.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to work with these engineers, because all I have to do is send them my raw audio and they're going to proof it. They're going to send me the correction file, just like a production company would. Yeah. I'm going to send them the correction. But you have to kind of factor all of this into your scheduling. But my friend who gave me this info, I got like three names from him and then two names from somebody else of people who do this.
Yeah.
And it's going to enable me to do a lot more work for sure.
Wow.
So I can also share those names with you later if you'd like to know them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please, yeah.
This is the next level. Like, it's next step, because you need to be able to work as your own production company, essentially, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's like that thread that you found me on. After I kind of got all this information, I was like, what? I am talking to people who just released their debut novel, who have like no reviews, and I can do a beautiful audiobook for them for $300 per finished hour.
Mm-hmm.
And, or they could go to a production company and pay more than $500 per finished hour for basically the same thing.
Yep.
I mean, there's just options. There's options. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just funny when I talk to these authors, because I'm like, yeah, like, I can do your audiobook for you now, or when your stuff gets sold, I'll still audition for it with Dreamscape. So, like, just let me know what you want to do, because I'll be here. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, and so I think it's taken me like a couple of years to get there, obviously, because I wasn't at that place when I was starting out, but I was just like, well, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Or like when your stuff gets sold to Berkeley Pub, I'll still narrate it through Tantor. So like, mm-hmm. let me know. Like, right. It's such a weird
However
world.
However you want me to do it, I will do it.
Yeah. If you want me to do it, I'll do it now. And it's better for you. And it's actually better for the indie author to just like mm-hmm. buy their stuff outright if they can afford it. And I offer like payment plans and stuff like that too. Cause I know nice. That it's a lot to be like, oh, I can't just drop $3,000 on an audiobook. Like, I get that. So anyway.
Yeah.
That was my big revelation. That was the thread you found me on.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's something that I always make sure to put into my contracts as well, is just that when we sign a contract, then there's a segment that gets forwarded upon signing the contract. Then there's a segment that's delivered upon the delivery of the first half.
Right.
The second half, corrections, whatever needs to be done.
Yes.
And at the same time, like I am able to offer my services.
Yeah.
Should there be any sort of issues or anything with the files, send them over to me. I will fix them.
Right.
And because this is my work too. My name's on it.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, like I need to make sure that my part that I can need to really control. I need to make sure that I'm not bored by the subject matter.
So yeah.
the fact that you have a genre that you're focused on, that you can
yeah
you can really put out as your specialty, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
If you sound yeah. bored, they're gonna hear it.
This is true. And I think it takes a little bit of time. Again, like it takes some time to kind of settle into where you feel good and where you feel like your voice fits. That was like something when I first started, I kind of met with coaches and I'm like, what do I sound like to you? Do I sound like YA? Do I sound like kids? Mm. And what? They didn't really even have an answer for me, to be honest. Like yeah. they didn't, I don't know. They didn't go, oh, I see you as this. And I hear you. They were not like this American Idol judge, like ready to right. make me some polished package. So because like, I don't think your true sound emerges for like several books and maybe a year, over a year, like, especially mm-hmm. if you're starting from just zero.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And I think like also with genre, like people don't know what they want until they hear it. Right. Yeah. So it could very well be your voice. So I don't know. There's a lot to talk about in that, in that realm, but yeah, I'm happy, definitely happy with romance. For now.
Excellent. Now, yeah. if there is someone that you feel is anxious to kind of go in this direction as an audiobook narrator themselves, what would you say is the first thing that they need to do in order to
yeah.
properly walk down that path?
I mean, I would say like kind of what we talked about before, like get your tech stuff figured out. I would say, mm-hmm. you know, get a streamlined like workflow. Mm-hmm. I would say don't buy into any courses.
Yeah.
And that might be controversial. I would say just buy into the courses that are going to truly benefit you, like probably mm-hmm. tech support. Okay. And yeah. then because I think getting good by like performance standards only comes with doing. Mm-hmm. And then when you, I would say get coaching like periodically just to point you in the right direction. But again, like you really only get good by doing and by listening to incredible audiobook narrators.
Yeah.
And I would say just like get ready to take a lot of time until you're satisfied with what you hear.
Yeah.
I mean that, yeah, just get ready for the time.
Yeah.
Really, the time yeah.
it takes. It's not going to be overnight. There's yeah. a long way to go before you even start narrating your first book.
Yeah. And I don't say that like, I think a lot of people that I heard advice from were like, oh, I worked so hard to get here. And I'm like, okay, listen, that's not why I'm telling you. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. trying to gatekeep anything or say like, oh, you have to do 20 books before you're anything. Or because I've had those numbers thrown out at me too. Like yeah. a publisher won't even look at you until you've had 20 books done. Well, that's just not really true. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, try to do as many books as you can before you can see a publisher. Like, it's like, absolutely. I don't know. Yeah. There's no really any hard rules because everyone's starting from a different place. So it's, mm-hmm. it is really difficult to give counsel, but I would say like, get ready for the long haul and the learning curve and find all the resources that are like readily available, like APA mm-hmm. resources and PANA and like Narrator's Roadmap and just like so many podcasts and there's so many things I listen to, so many YouTube videos I watched and mm-hmm. just people out on Facebook giving their two cents. And you have to take all of that in.
Yeah.
And then kind of come out with something that works for you.
Fabulous. So, yeah. 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 Got to do what works for you. Exactly.
Yeah.
And where can my listeners find you on social media?
At Victoria Connolly Narrator. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Awesome. That's it. Yeah. Just everywhere.
Yeah. They're in TikTok and or Instagram and TikTok. And that's pretty much it. I'm nice. Mostly, I just do Instagram for the most
part. Gotcha. Yeah. Just like what Victoria was saying, it's all about putting the work in. It's all about getting comfortable behind the microphone, getting yourself out there, networking, really making those connections with people and getting yourself mm-hmm. into the position where you can succeed. That is what she has been doing. That is what I hope to see that she continues to do. And that's what I want for all of you. I want you guys to get your passion out there. Note which genre you're more comfortable in and push forward on that. There's nothing wrong with sticking to one genre. There's nothing wrong with going to as many different genres as possible. Whatever that creative urge is, whatever is driving you forward, whatever you feel that you can contribute positively to the world, do it, because we need you. We need you, and other authors need your voice to bring their works to life. They're waiting for you. They're doing their part to get the books out. You do your part to bring those books to life. So for Victoria Connolly, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to heesgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to George@heesgotit.com.